You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Meat Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. A little bit later on, Dan Le Batard will join us. We'll talk to Kevin Garnett, the NBA Hall of Famer. We'll hear from LeBron James as the Lakers bow out. First time in his career he bows out in the opening round. Coming up, in lengthy interview with Mike Krzyzewski that I taped yesterday after his press conference and spent some time with him, went down memory lane with him. Coach, we'll have that interview coming up here momentarily. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin, the poll question today.
Will LeBron James win another title? 64% say no.
Suns bounce the Lakers. Anthony Davis started, played 5 minutes, then exit stage left. I do think that maybe the criticism and certainly the new nickname by Charles Barkley played a role in this, because when I saw Anthony Davis on the floor, I went, I don't know how he was medically cleared. Like it didn't look like one of those, okay, he's sort of, you know, testing it out, and it was evident. And, you know, the Suns knew that right away. But look, we applaud the athlete who tries to play. He tried to play. I don't think he wanted to be seated in street clothes and have somebody get that photo of him. Nuggets drop the Blazers, and they move on. So Suns and Nuggets moving on. Tonight, Clippers-Mavericks, Game 6, and then Saturday, it's the Bucks and the Nets. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Want to get to the Mike Krzyzewski interview as we sat down with him yesterday after his press conference, and here is how it started. We welcome in the former Duke head coach, Mike Krzyzewski. And I love the fact that there's no victory tour. You end this now. It's clean. You don't have to have everybody say nice things about you, give you gifts along the way. So, Coach, you did it the right way, and I applaud you.
Yeah, I like the thing you said about victory tour, because that's what I would like it to be. But, it's time, but I wanted to coach another year, but then – how do you do that if you're not – how do you recruit kids that you're not going to coach next year? It's impossible. You know, I don't think that's right. And so I think this is a good plan of succession. John Shire is ready, and hopefully a great year now, and hopefully that'll be continued.
If you go back to when you first started, I think you were 33 when you got to Duke, so maybe a year younger than John is. What do you see in John that may remind you of yourself at a similar age?
Well, I think John is better prepared to be the Duke coach than I was, not to be a head coach at a college. Like, I was a head coach at a college, great school at West Point, but I wasn't ready to be at this level. I had a learning curve on what it would take, the recruiting and everything, that in order to compete in my neighborhood. John already knows that. He, he's been my lead guy for 3 years. He's been on the staff 8 years. So for this job, I think he's better prepared. And he also understands the current state of recruiting. The people that you have to have relationships with, that has changed over the years. And he's done that. He's very, very good at that.
Take us back to year two, year three. You had 10 wins, 11 wins.
Right.
Were you nervous about keeping your job?
I wasn't nervous. There were a lot of people, Duke fans, that were nervous about me keeping my job. But thankfully, not my two bosses, Tom Butters, who believed in me, and President Samford, who believed in me. And we were a team. That doesn't happen as much nowadays. And there was a process of growth. And also, Dan, it was a time where there wasn't the turnover every year in college basketball. So, I mean, you might be facing Jordan for 3 years, which we did, or Samson for 4 years. You weren't facing them for 1 year, and then they had to retool. So the patience, but also the savvy of my two bosses, and their belief in me, obviously it paid off.
First time you woke up and said that word, retirement? You remember?
I haven't said the word retirement yet because I'll say that in the spring. You know, I just said I'm coaching this year and then that'll be it. So I'm not retired right now. Now I'm an active participant in other words, I'm not there yet. If I was there yet, then I wouldn't do a good job in being the coach this year. So I have to be in this moment, but I have to let people know what the plan is that I'm going to stop coaching, which lends itself to say Coach K is going to retire. I'm not trying to make this a play on words, but it really is how you have to focus on this. If I'm already thinking retirement, yeah, then I should. You know, I gotta think of being passionate about coaching, which I am.
Do you have any hobbies?
Listening to your show.
Yep. Well, that's a full-time job. Yeah, that's not a hobby.
Bad hobby. My family is trying to break me of it. And I said, no, I got to be loyal to this guy. He doesn't have many listeners.
Yes, you're right.
Viewers.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I don't want to be lonely.
You and Jim Boeheim, those the only two only two listeners I got. And, you know, I could lose
one
of you.
And we do listen. No, my hobbies have been what I do. You know, I coaching has been my work, my hobby, but my family, I've been lucky. All my daughters, their husbands, and my 10 grandkids live right by me. And then I really like to do a lot out, and we have a lot of land and beautiful. And I just like to be outside and plant stuff, cut it down, figure it out, and just to be outside.
Who's the first player you heard from?
Wow. You know, I don't know that. I heard from so many of them. Maybe Wojo. Maybe Wojo. He's one of the first ones.
Did he slap the floor,
from
though?
I heard from Quinn Snyder yesterday, and they're in a playoff game. And then I text them. I didn't get back to all my texts. You know, we had a lot of them. And so I'm watching his game, and I finally looked at his text. I said, holy crap, I'm watching his game. So I text him. I said, I'm watching your game. Hopefully you won't read this during your game. Although you had a 30-point lead at halftime, maybe you did. And then he got back afterwards.
You said in your press conference that you'd like to get a team picture. Every player?
Yeah.
I don't think we can pull that off, can we, Coach?
No, we can't. But to me, that, you know, the guys who've been in it for a long time, and hopefully the guys who haven't been in it for a long time, but the guys who've been in it for a long time recognize that, and I'm not the only one. I'm one of many that know that it's about the relationships you develop with your players. And during this time, it's more difficult to develop those deep-rooted relationships because you don't have as much time. And it's a danger, really, in our sport right now with almost 1,700 kids in the transfer portal, that a big part of developing a relationship is going through a tough time. And where you go through a tough time together, a tough time of improvement or understanding or whatever. I'm not saying every kid that transfers walks away from that, but a number of them would rather try something different than make that work. And all I know is that the guys that I've coached where they made it work, they've gotten better. Our relationship is deep and it goes on for forever. So I worry about that, Dan, in our game. But again, the freedom of movement and all that, I'm all for it. I wish we could take care of the other thing, too.
2 months ago, Roy Williams announced that he was retiring. What kind of impact did that have on you and with your decision?
Yeah, well, Roy and I are actually really good friends. And a big thing is we both understand the magnitude of the job that we've had. He had, and now I still have. What it means to a university, what it means to our sport, the demands of that job. No other person really understands that unless they're in that. And it's really one of the reasons Coach Dean Smith and I developed a very good relationship as I grew up. Before I grew up in this game, you know, I didn't understand him and was at, you know, and then all of a sudden, now I get it. And there's going to be a time for all of us. I'm just glad that Roy picked the time that he feels is best for him. I'm trying to, and how about us being able to pick the time? It's pretty good. Yeah, and that we're both of us are the lucky ones to be able to do that.
He's the current but sort of former coach at Duke. He's Mike Krzyzewski. Will you miss games more or practices more?
Just the practices, the workouts, the times where guys can just be guys. You know, obviously the excitement of a game. We didn't have any of that this year. And I'm anxious to get back to that. And I'll be all right without that, I think, after this year. But I will always miss the development of relationships and just the goofing around, getting on somebody when they needed it, praising them. How many people in their 70s are able to hang and develop relationships with people 18 to 23 or a staff that's 33 to 40, you know, which keeps them young and vibrant. You get energy from them. I'll miss that. And I know that that'll be somewhat of a void when it happens, you know, because you do get energy when you're with those youngsters.
Did you ever get to the point where you enjoyed the wins more than that feeling of losing? Like, could winning ever overshadow that feeling of losing?
Well, losing was lower than winning was high.
Yeah.
I would say that, no question. But I think if you talk, I would think most people who've been fortunate enough to have a number of successes, a lot of successes, would say the same thing. You know, that they, you have to, because you avoid that, you want to avoid that feeling. It's not just beating the other team or the opponent. It's not wanting the position that you would be in if you lose. Now, in saying that, the highs are pretty good too. You know, like when you win a national championship, or, you know, for me, winning Olympics and world championships, being in five of those, That was unbelievable to do that. However, the lowest moment I've had in coaching was with USA basketball when we were learning and we lost in 2006 to Greece and Tokyo. And then we won after that every game, but and five championships. But so that low was the lowest. There's no question about it.
Like the lowest of all of your losses, including Duke?
All of them.
Did you let down the country? Is that what you felt?
Yeah, you let down. Yeah. I mean, you're coaching the United States team.
Yeah.
And you lose. I mean, yeah, you know, and thank goodness I was with just an amazing guy in Jerry Colangelo, who said, we're going to get this done. And then he believed in me and believed in us. And then it worked out that we developed a really good culture with all those guys who, you know, made a lot of sacrifices in order to play.
Finish this sentence. If Christian Laettner doesn't go to Duke,
you may not be talking to me. Christian Laettner was the best player, you know, the most accomplished player here at Duke. I mean, he may be one of the top five players in the history of the NCAA. We're talking about every year, Final Four, you know, national championships. You can only win six games in the NCAA tournament when you win the whole thing. In his 4 years, he was 21-2. Gotta be crazy. I mean, that those things are not. And I'll tell you what, I've had the belief of many, many of my players. No one believed in me and our relationship more than Christian. You know, he was, everyone can say about what he was for me. He was as good a guy as I could have ever coached and as great a competitor as I've coached.
Well, Shaq on TNT the other night said that when he played against Christian the first time, he said he ate my lunch. Like, he said, I had to reassess my game because that guy was not bigger than me, stronger than me, more athletic than me, but he ate my lunch. You remember that meeting between those two?
Well, he has selective memory and good memory, and I love Shaq, but Waitner did that twice. And like, I think Shaq's one of the top 10, maybe 10 players in ever, but in college, and we had a pretty good supporting cast too. Some Hurley and Grant Hill helped him a little bit, but, those were, I appreciate it. I love Shaq and that, but when you talk to him, tell him there was a game at Duke and then a game at LSU.
Did you recruit Shaq?
No, that was, he was in Germany. We didn't know about him. You know, Dale Brown, that was a coup, like where did this guy come from? And there were no AAU tournaments you didn't get a scouting report from Mannheim or Berlin saying, hey, there's this guy, really good guy out there. And somehow, he had the intel, and his dad was military. So, they were lucky. They were lucky to get him.
Indulge me in this. You brought it up before. We've talked about it. But take me back to that moment where you nearly took the Lakers, John.
Well, it was at a time of I think people, if they're lucky enough, they're able to make their success. Have they had enough in a certain period of time or at a certain location? Do they need to do something else in their career? And I was 57, and the pros were appealing to me. And then Kobe was appealing to me because I knew him as a youngster, and the Lakers, their brand was, the amount of money was generational, but I could not leave Duke. And I mean, we were making good money, not the money that they were talking about, but I love Duke. I love college basketball. And ironically, 5 months after turning it down, Jerry Colangelo offered me the national team, even though you don't get paid for that. The ability to coach the pros was then not just satisfied, it was magnified. I got a chance to coach more great players than anybody because of my time at Duke, but also my 11 years coaching the U.S. team.
Do I have to get you a gift?
Well, you should have surprised me. I thought there would be one already. I thought that was the end. That's the only reason I did the damn interview. They said at the end, Dan's going to surprise you with this amazing gift. Now you're asking me? You've ruined it.
I thought you were you retired.
Well, see, now
I have a year.
It's giving me something to look forward to in the spring.
You know, when you buy a wedding gift, you don't have to get the gift then. You have a year to get that wedding gift for the couple. I got a year.
I didn't know that. My wife gets the wedding gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did not know that I was going to learn something. Usually when we do interviews, it's kind of void of learning opportunities.
Yeah.
And today I got one. Unbelievable. Thank you.
I'm thinking of retiring after doing this interview, just to let you know. I'm going to leave you with this. When you hear Boeheim's voice, do you think it sounds like a car trying to start in cold weather? So if it's like, what do you think, Coach?
Well, I think you're right, but I love the sound of a car starting in cold weather. Because I love Jim, and he and I, But it's once it starts, there's usually a lot of wisdom. Hey, I didn't know. Are you this? You're going to retire and be like a comedian or
no?
Like,
no, no. I'm going to join Shire's staff. He's going to need all the help he can get. He's going to need a shooting coach, and I'm right here. Nobody plays defense, just offense. I can help him.
He's going to go after a hitting coach. Anybody can hire a shooting coach. He's going to go after someone who hits shots.
Oh, make shots.
Make a maker, a shot.
Because when they said, you know,
not a shot shooter.
I would always say that I was a making guard. They'd say, are you a shooting guard? And I go, no, I'm a making guard. So I understand what you're saying, coach.
Yeah, you separated yourself from the magnitude.
Yes,
I do. You've always done that, Dan.
Yes, I have. Yes,
sometimes in good or sometimes in not so good.
Thank you, coach.
All right, man. Nice being on with you.
That was fun. Spend some time. I can pretty much guarantee that all the other interviews he did, nobody was doing their Jim Boeheim impersonation. The former Duke coach. The current sort of Duke coach. All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls coming up. And Dan Lebatard, the popular Dan Lebatard, he's up to no good. He'll join us coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll hear from LeBron James after last night's loss. So 22 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Discover the Discover card, will you, please? Because I keep telling you, it's amazing. It's so amazing that Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing that word yes more often. Learn more, discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Do you want to see grown men cry on live TV? Well, Tuesday, you get your chance. Once again, it's our annual We Didn't Win the Sports Emmy watch party, and you can watch it on YouTube. We started 8 Eastern Tuesday night, youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Among the guests joining us, Darius Rucker, Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, Josh Duhamel, Bryan Cranston. We got musical performances by Rick Neuheisel and Melissa Etheridge. These people have won awards. Again, that's Tuesday. It's Let's Watch Grown Men Cry When They Lose the Sports Emmy, 8 Eastern on our YouTube channel. Yes, Paul?
We don't know for a fact that we've lost already, do we? It's just a hunch.
Yeah, it's the same hunch I've had the three previous years when we've lost. Now, people say, well, it's semantics. You didn't win. No, if I don't win, then I lost. And there's none of that. Oh, yeah, somebody else won. Yeah, that means others lost. Yes, McLovin.
But if you run the New York City Marathon and you don't win, you're not a loser.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
You are pretty competitive.
Yes, I am. There's no finish line here for the sports Emmy. Are we going to bet? Does anybody want to bet against us? Does anybody want to bet for us winning a sports Emmy next Tuesday night? Yes, Paulie.
I'll put 20 that we win, if anyone wants a piece of that.
All right. Now, we could do this, because I still have the champagne from last year that's been in the refrigerator. How about, and I don't know how it ages, but, I mean, I don't think we're winning.
Not with that attitude.
Well, no, they've already tabulated the votes. Whoever voted on this.
Any last-minute votes getting
in
this.
Yeah, no, they've already voted on this. I'd take a pie to the face if we win. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you guys know how the universe works? The more you say, you know, if you say we're going to win, we're not going to win. If you say we're not going to win, we have a chance. Mm. The more negative we are, the better chance we are.
Okay, who thinks we're winning? Like, seriously. Front row, not the back. Alton, okay.
Yes, let's keep it positive. Put positive
vibes.
Do you
really think that we're going to win?
I think we should have won at least one already.
No. Do you think we're going to win? Would you put money on it?
I guess. That doesn't make it fun putting money on. I just from a standpoint of the fourth year in a row, we're a three-hour show.
Paulie believes he's going to put money on it.
That's great for him. I think that it's the fourth time's a charm. We're up against shows that do these half-hour shows and highlights, and we crank it out 3 hours a day every day, something to be said for that.
I know. Yeah, Paul.
I said I'll put 20 that says we'll win. I have about 1,000 people so far on Twitter saying I'll take your bet. I'm gonna lose $1 million. You're the nominees, by the way, the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah.
Good Morning Football.
Yeah.
MLB Tonight. NFL Total Access. Pardon the Interruption.
Oh.
The 30-minute show. And SportsCenter.
It's not really a 30-minute show, it's a 22-minute show.
There's 6 nominees this year. I think there's usually 5.
Do you think we got squeezed in there because it's a sympathy kind of category? Yeah, Seton.
Like SportsCenter and PTS split the vote. And then it's just a race between the other 4.
Wait, is SportsCenter in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Total Access and Good Morning Football could split the vote as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not winning.
Oh, great. But see, here it comes. Us against MLB Tonight.
Yes, MLB Tonight.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
They have a jib.
Hey,
don't have a jib.
Yeah, let's go on the baseball field here, and we'll recreate.
We do a demonstration
here.
Huge sweeping shots.
Yeah, we couldn't afford Cal, so we got Billy Ripken here.
Come on, keep it positive.
Who said that?
Yeah.
That made it 7-3 Cubs, and there's your final 7-3. Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Over the Pirates.
Yes, Paul.
Maybe you should finish every show with some Mariners highlights. Just, you know, you dust off your old SportsCenter voice and just go, Mariners bullpen gives it up again.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have, they have the Charles Barkley of the baseball broadcasting world, Dan Plesac. I mean, everybody tunes in for Plesac.
Wow. Jesus.
Dang.
What? No, because he said something mean when he came on the show. He made fun of us for winning the Oscars. I mean, the Emmy.
No, we didn't win. We lost.
No, I know. Then Plesac, the next time he was on, kind of took a jab.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, they're great.
Damian Lillard bowed out and had this to say after the game, after the loss to the Nuggets.
Where we are now isn't good enough. I don't know what a shakeup looks like or what changes will be made or could be made. But obviously, as is, it wasn't good enough. You know, we came up short against a team without their starting point guard and shooting guard. Obviously, where we are isn't good enough to win the championship if it's not good enough for us to get out of a first-round series with, you know, two of their best 3 or 4 players not on the floor.
He's right, because that's why I picked Portland to win, because you did not have the Denver backcourt. And they still ended up losing. Joker played well, but Portland should have won that series. Here is LeBron James talking about his team and how they were never really at full strength.
When we got started, the season started so fast after leaving the bubble, obviously. The one thing that bothers me more than anything, we never really got an opportunity to see our full team at full strength, either because of injury or COVID or something going on with our ball club this year. We could never fully get into a rhythm. And never really kind of see the full potential of what we're capable of.
Yeah, and I don't think this is I think it's a reload. I think, you know, don't overreact, but I think you got to start making some hard decisions when it comes to some of these role players here. Who is along for the ride and who can help you get back to a championship caliber team? Christy in Virginia, then we'll take a break and we'll make way for Dan Le Batard. Hi, Christy.
Hey, Uncle Dan. Dan, sorry, you're in our household all the time, and my husband and I always listen to your show on the road, and so I've kind of nicknamed you Uncle Dan. But
well, thank you. Thank you, Christy.
So I'm actually sitting in the car waiting to go in for a pretty serious procedure. I'm having, I guess, like an ectopic pregnancy, so we're not going to be able to keep the baby. So anyway, I was like, hey, I want to listen to the Dan Patrick Show, get my mind off of things, and I have a question I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
So if you had to take a high-risk mission to outer space, just like the movie Armageddon, like you had to go up there, blow up an asteroid before it came to Earth, and you had to bring a team with you, what 3 celebrities would you bring to space?
3 celebrities. I'm going to put you on hold, Christy. I'll answer your question, but I want to send you some DP show swag, a gift pack, and good luck. And sorry to hear that news. I'd have to think about three celebrities. I don't know if I want celebrities with me, though. I'd have to give that some thought. Yeah, see.
You'd probably be like Dylan in the back room here. You'd take with you. Maybe Tyler.
Big German.
Yeah, and the
French,
German.
Yeah, maybe. A French kid.
Yeah, maybe the French kid. Yeah. Good conversation.
Well, if you're redoing a deck, you bring those three guys. If you're stuck in space forever, I don't know if I'd want to hang out
with
them.
Yeah, but I don't want to bring celebrities.
They're resourceful fellas.
All right, let me take a break. Dan Le Batard is going to join us coming up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get your Father's Day gifts at danpatrick.com. T-shirts, hats, got a lot of great things in there. You can shop at danpatrick.com. He's the popular host of the Dan Le Batard Show. He's got a big 24-hour marathon coming up. That's some programming going on there. He's Dan Le Batard who joins us. Now, is this a telethon? Are you raising money for charity? What are you doing?
Yeah, we are. But can I, if I may, Dan, because you're such a kind professional and a legitimately good friend to me, I want to say some things here and like weave a tapestry of gratitude for the guys who work with you and for the audience. I'd like to do that if you would give me a moment. But before I do that, I have to point out to you, because you're such a professional, that we can move smoothly through these things. You're having me follow, and you handled it well, sending a bag of swag, but I'm coming into like one of the biggest moments of my life today, and you're having me follow what was a heartbreaking telephone call. And now I got to come out here and do jazz hands and be wacky. And that was hard to listen to. You handled that very gracefully. It feels like that could have been very awkward.
Well, you also have to follow Coach K, and that's tough too. So I'm just saying that.
Okay, well, there's this. Okay, and this is where I want to head with this, because, yes, he just hit me in the face with the fish. If I've got Coach K today, hey, big 24-hour boy, I got Coach K today. What do you got? He was just on here a second ago. I want to weave this genuine, sincere tapestry of gratitude about the man that is sitting in front of you right now, because when he talks about the Emmys with a smirk on his face, as a pioneer in this industry, as somebody who has been like an anchor of professionalism, as America has changed and sports coverage has changed, and he's in the middle of it, fair and stoic, delivering you a great radio program that I'm sitting here on here today to talk about our big 24-hour extravaganza that starts at noon. And he just said to you, that's our Tuesday. We got that coming up next Tuesday at my house when we lose the Emmys and make fun of ourselves. We've got a bunch of good guests. So Dan Patrick has been doing across now, you know, many, many years, the kind of work that deserves not just these prizes that we give, these silly trophies, but in terms of sharing this space with me, in terms of you specifically being a human being. When he says he's competitive, people, he will eat your grandmother's knee to beat her by an inch on something. Like, he is an insane person when it comes to competitive. And yet all he did with me as I was coming up is share his platform with me, teach me how to share that platform, teach me how to take care of a family of employees who he genuinely loves. And I just want everyone in this audience to know that that competitive man never made it feel like we were competing against each other. And this business of vanity and insecurity and nonsense, that's an uncommon grace. And so I am here to bestow upon you, Dan Patrick, right now, more than that bum Dan Plesac. You are the greatest of the Dans. You win a Danny. You win among you and me. You have been a pioneer and a teacher, and you've given our crew permission to do the show the way that you did it first. And so I am genuinely thankful that you are here again sharing your stage with me. I'm sorry if I made that sappy.
Can we use what Le Batard just said for next year's Emmys?
Yes.
Because that, to me, would go a long way, that Le Batard is endorsing me. because by then he's going to be huge. Like, he's big in the business and this whole partnership and Meadowlark Lemon. And like, it's pretty incredible what Dan's done. A 24-hour marathon of programming. And you got big names. You got Jim Rome. You got Jim Rome.
Yes, we got.
Okay, all right.
Yes, Jim Rome. Why did you say it like that? I don't understand why you said it like that.
Well, this is the press release and the first name. An eclectic buffet featuring the likes of Jim Rome, Bob Costas, and Michelle Beadle. Uh-huh. That's what it says. So I'm just taking what's here. Yeah, but
there are other names there too, though. You, for some reason, I feel like you specifically chose Jim Rome first when that, you know, Pat Riley is on there. Method Man is on there. Pat Sajak is on there. We're got a whole bunch of surprise appearances. And the first one you went to, for some reason, I wasn't clear on. And there was I may be wrong on this, but there felt like there was some acid on your spit was Jim Rome.
What, Colin Cowherd not available? Like Roy Firestone? Yes, JT the Brick?
JT the Brick. Yeah. We almost did a duet there. Yes, JT the Brick. JT the Brick is on the marquee.
Francesa and Russo, you couldn't, reunite them?
Do people understand, Dan, that as a television person, you reinvented yourself to change this game too? As you mentioned, these other colleagues of ours that are titans of industry, but like, do people understand who have been with you and call you Uncle Dan because you're in their house and that's the connection this space makes? Like, you should be pretty proud of yourself on this stuff. I know I keep doing that to you, but like, I really want your audience to understand what a caring human being this is under all the television foofery wiring that he has to have because he's super poised legend man and he can do game shows and he's always stoic and never sweats and he's just perfect at television. I want you guys to know that in there, that dude right there changed this game, came into radio. That wasn't his place, came into radio and his producers were talking on air and his producers were, doing confessionals in a booth. And anything that we're doing today, like, the spirit of it started with the Better Dan.
You know what's amazing, and Dan, thank you for those kind words, but you know they don't mean anything to me because that's just who I am. As I timed that while you were taking a drink there.
They don't mean anything. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. I'm filled with great gratitude, but I have to go back to my emotional repressions. I cannot ever be good enough. I must be better. I am television man.
But, my audience is very smart, and they're probably going, well, Dan Le Batard has a 24-hour marathon of programming. He's got Jim Rome. He's got Bob Costas. He's got Michelle Beadle. Well, obviously, he's got Dan Patrick because he thinks so much of Dan Patrick.
There we go.
And I checked the poster because I don't think my name's on
there. I've got the poster right here, DP.
Okay. Just, do you see me?
It's real small at the bottom, but I still don't see you.
Okay. Well, I got to be there.
Scott Farrell.
Oh, yeah.
You dirty rat. You dirty rat. He's been setting this joke up for 3 days. He set me up. Dan Patrick set me up.
Yourself up. You didn't even. You forgot about me.
I was going to make your name bigger.
You forgot about me.
I was going to make your name bigger than Rome's. I was. And you told me you better not put me on that poster. And I'm like, no, but your name can be in bigger letters. You can have the biggest media letters. And he's like, you better not, setting me up for this joke. You're a dirty rat.
And
Dan,
you know,
Patrick.
What? I said, I will not be your seat filler, Dan Le Batard. Don't even try that.
Jim Rome was not at my wedding. Colin Cowherd was not. Bob Costas.
Exactly. And they're invited. They passed to go to your wedding.
It was a first draft of the movie poster. It was a first draft.
So you're on the air for 24 hours?
Actually, it's not a movie poster. It's a marquee. It's a music festival marquee. And yes, it's a festival of freedom, Dan. And it covers a lot of ground here because you know some of my story, right? Yeah. My parents are Cuban exiles. Freedom has been very important to me. Another place where you gave us permission, you left ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. Nobody leaves that place. You can't leave that place and make a success of yourself. You got to stay there. That's the finish line. That's the destination. Dan Patrick carved the path for me. blazed it. Look, no, you can do this. This can be done. This is something that can be done outside of that. And so here we go. We went into free agency. We got a big digital monster of a thing. People really like our show in a way that's super sticky, right? You and I have rare radio audiences where the people who love you are super devoted to you in the way that you heard in that phone call, you know, of somebody who was grieving, and the laughter of this show was medicine to that person. Like, there aren't many audiences like that, especially not now in the argument culture. So what we have on YouTube, and you could subscribe at Levitard and Friends, is basically what Dan described to you he's doing Tuesday night at his house, right? They're going to just have, these guys are going to gather around with their friends, and they're going to, you know, make fun of losing the Emmys, and you're going to be able to see parts of it, and it's groundbreaking. You're like hanging with your friends. If you're a person lonely, going through a dark time, like these are, and it's such an intimate space. This group, this family right here, the dysfunctional family you've seen here grow up among these guys and the men, from kids to adults, if you've been watching this show long enough. They're showing you their lives on Tuesday, and you can watch it and sort of be with them in the intimate audio space of your head. And so we're just having a huge party, Dan, for 24 hours, where a whole bunch of our friends, like you, hopefully, if you're still not mad at me because your name wasn't on the movie poster, will just swing by and, you know, make us laugh, and people will be excited to see them, because Dan, they've been seeing you for 30 years. Like they recognize, they know television does not show you real people. Okay. Not the way Dan was doing it a long time ago when he was breaking the mold on pioneering how to do SportsCenter with a smirk, but this dude right here, like sitting in front of you now, like this is not how that's done anymore, Dan. Like you should feel really good about the path that you blazed on this, because your spirit is going to be within it. It's like you created a family, a family business, and it makes you as happy as you could be if anything was good enough. And I have a family business, and I'm putting it on YouTube for 24 hours, beginning at in an hour. And it's going to be fun, and I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. It's not going to be hard for us, Dan, because you and I have had this conversation before. It's hard to do these things, talk and say interesting things for a long time. But with the crew of people that we've got here, I've got enough friends that they're going to make it a rollicking thing that will vibrate. And I've invited you to be a part of it, obviously, and any of your audience that cares to join. I think it's going to be a fun experience. But know that this man offers me this platform, the platform he built, that he pioneered, in order for me to tell you, hey, come watch us, because we're not competitors. We're friends, and that will not end. Like, this business did not break that. This dude led the way for me.
Good luck with this, and maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow. But
love you, buddy.
Thanks
love
for coming you. On. Thank you.
For real. Love you, Dan. I want everyone to know that. All right. I'm sorry if I made it awkward.
That's Dan Le Batard. It's a 24-hour marathon of all of his friends, except for me. And that starts in an hour from now. It's called Free Dumb. D-U-M-B. Yes, Paulie.
We didn't get really into the Heat's disappointing postseason at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I think that's why we were going to have him on to talk about the
Tyler
Miami,
Hero.
And the Miami Heat. And talking about the Heat. 1 hour to go. Kevin Garnett will join us, probably guaranteed to swear on the program. Final hour coming up. One more item, second hour, M-Drive. M-Drive is the supplement I take every day. Now, they have something new. It's called M-Drive Boost and Burn. It's a supplement that can help you drop those unwanted pounds, give you some energy that you're going to need for the summer. Because more daylight, you're going to be outside, you got to be ready to go. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, and M-Drive Boost and Burn will help build lean muscle and burn body fat. You can find M-Drive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. You get a 60-day money-back guarantee, free shipping, nothing to lose except for some pounds. MDriveDan.com. Get lean, get strong, look your best. That's MDriveDan.com. It can be tough to keep weight off as you get older, but you can fight back with M-Drive Boost and Burn. And get ready for everything that summer brings. Go to mdrivedan.com, or you can go to Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive.